You'll see that this morning is sort of a continuance of our last sermon, Love Your Enemies. It might sound that it's the same thing, but maybe the word has a word for us and to put a focus on that this morning. So, we live in a world filled with conflict. Is that true? A group of historians has compiled all data about wars since 3500 BC and presented the following startling information. Since 3600 BC, the world has known 292 years of peace. Is that shocking? In 5000 years, man only lived in peace for 292 years. More than 8,000 peace treaties have been made and broken, and it still continues. My conclusion then is that wars are the norm and not the exception. Today, if you scroll through social media, it often feels as though people are at war with one another. A single spark in the virtual world can ignite a firestorm of harsh words, even from those who call themselves Christians. People say things online that they would never say face to face. This is not a new phenomenon. Long before Facebook existed, Lady Astor famously told Winston Churchill, "If you were my husband, I'd put poison in your coffee." Churchill replied, "And if you were my wife, I drink it." So conflict and cruelty have always been part of human interaction. It is not only the world that suffers from conflict and cruelty. We all experience this in our own lives, within marriages, families, brothers and sisters, friendships, neighborhoods, and colleagues. Most of us have faced disagreements that led to broken relationships, and there's nothing pleasant about that. It kills people, it leads to anxiety, and it leads to stress and depression. How do you handle the many conflicts you are facing? Because it is difficult. It seems people are sometimes responding in illogical and unrealistic ways to minor differences. Mensen maken bergen van molshopen. How do we fix broken relationships? Let us find some answers in the Bible. And Jesus has a specific answer for us this morning. Let us open our Bibles in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. The first book in the New Testament. Let us read together. Matthew 5 from verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he, as Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And then our text for today, only one verse, answering our question of how do we fix broken relationships. Here it is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. We need peacemakers. Let's read on. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thus far the reading of the word. Just for some context, we find ourselves at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Here Jesus is teaching, and he's teaching those who genuinely desired to follow him and learn from him. When he saw the large crowds gathering, he went up the mountain, perhaps to create some distance from the noise and the movement below, but by doing so, he also created an opportunity for his true disciples to draw closer to him. What followed was sort of an intimate teaching moment, a personal lesson from the master to those who walk close with him. And he started with the Beatitudes. Jesus gave 8 characteristics or secrets of blessed people. And one of these 8 is the peacemakers. If I would preach all 8 of them, we will sit here till next week. But blessed are the peacemakers. The original meaning of the word blessed means total well-being, or in simple terms, it means happy, to be happy. We need happy people in this world of conflict. We need peacemakers, amen? To bring peace and healing to broken relationships. Do you want to be happy? I'm sure you want to be happy. Of course you want to be happy. Jesus says, peacemakers are happy people. Peacemakers are happy people. From Matthew 5 verse 9, then this morning, I want to give you 3 reasons why peacemakers are happy people and how they can reconcile broken relationships in this world. And the first reason is this: peacemakers have inner peace. Look at verse 9, the word blessed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peacemakers are blessed. They are happy. They're truly happy from within. Why? Inner peace brings forth happiness. Does that make sense? This is a great truth. You cannot be a peacemaker if there's no peace in your own heart. And you cannot be truly happy without this peace. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 57 verse 20, and he wrote the following: but the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So let me say it right from the outset. Jesus is the great peacemaker. He is called the Prince of Peace. Amen. Isaiah also wrote in Isaiah 9 verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. A myriad of angels proclaimed at the birth of Jesus in Luke 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Jesus is the author of peace, the Prince of Peace. He is the source of peace. Jesus brought peace into his kingdom. The important question here this morning is, do you have that peace in your heart? Have you found inner peace and happiness. If not, then you need to come to the one who offers eternal peace. If your life is characterized by constant conflict in your heart, conflict with people, and conflict with God, then you're a needy person. You need a renewed heart. Maybe your heart is in constant turmoil. Then you want what Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, listen to this, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is found in Christ Jesus. A peace that will guard your hearts and your minds from wrong thinking, motive, and hatred. And I believe this is what we need in South Africa. Peace in the hearts of every citizen of South Africa, meaning Jesus in the hearts of every citizen of South Africa. You cannot fabricate this peace. It's not something you can work up in your heart, because there's only one who changes hearts, the Prince of Peace. Amen? By nature, we are hostile to God, enemies of God. MacArthur wrote, and I quote, "Reconciliation doesn't happen when man decides to stop rejecting God, but when God decides to stop rejecting man." Adam and Eve broke the peace that there was between man and God and became his enemies because of their sin. So by nature, as their offspring, we are also sinners under the curse and deserve God's punishment for sins. By nature, we are peace breakers. By nature, we are at war with one another and with God. No wonder that in 5,000 years, we only had 292 years of peace on earth. We cannot make peace with God in our own efforts, with our sinful, hostile nature. But the good news is that God sent his Son, the Prince of Peace, to bring peace and reconciliation. That is the good news. Paul wrote the following to the Ephesian church, and you can open there with me, and please read with me Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, and I read from verse 13. Let's read together. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace. Do you hear that? He himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing hostility. Do you see what I see in verse 14? Jesus is our peace. True peace is in a person. True peace is in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget that. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. There it is, the good news of the gospel of peace. Jesus paid with his blood at the cross to reconcile you and me with the Father. The Prince of Peace broke down all the barriers, even the barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. And just on a side note here, this means there can only come real peace between Israel and Palestine when Christ would reign in the hearts of Jews and Palestinians. There's no other way that there ever will be peace in the world between any country or any man without Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except through me." There was a time in my life when I had no peace. I was in conflict with God. I questioned his existence, his love, his mercy, his actions, and his word. And it's certainly not a happy place to be. It is a dark place. It is lonely. It is a place of turmoil. During that time, I wrote this short poem in the form of a question. It's in Afrikaans, but it's a question. Wanneer sal u antwoord op smeking en stiewing van 'n siel wat aanhoudend op wag staan en benoud wonder of hy die doel verstaan wat hy moet doen? When will you answer a soul that is seeking? That was the question that I asked. And it all changed when I met the Prince of Peace, when he saved my soul, my lost soul. It was only then when my soul came to rest. Oh, what a happy, blessed place to be. That day when you realize your sins are forgiven, all of it, sins of the past, sins of the present, and all future sins. Jesus died for that once and for all. The price has been paid. Your life is in God's hands. Are you a happy person this morning? Do you have this peace that is above all understanding? You see, you need to come to that point where you realize that you are a poor, that you are poor, like those in verse 3. If we go to Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You first need to bend the knee, knowing your poverty, and confess, humble you before Jesus Christ. And he says in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will save your soul if you come to him. Peacemakers are happy because they have inner peace through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Therefore, they can make a difference in our society, in our world. A second reason why peacemakers are happy is this: peacemakers are actively pursuing peace. Let's look at our verse again, verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Happy are the peacemakers. Jesus didn't say happy are the peaceable or the peaceful. He said happy are the peacemakers. It is a word of action. It's active in its form. Peacemakers are actively pursuing peace. It means Peacemaking is the ongoing habitual work of a Christian. It makes us happy to see peace and to take part in peacemaking efforts. Peacemakers are happy. They love and desire and delight in peace. They keep the peace so that it be not broken and recover it when it is broken. Adam Clark wrote this, and I quote, "As war distracts and divides nations, families, and individuals from each other, inducing them to pursue different objects and different interests, so peace restores them to a state of unity, giving them one object and one interest. Peacemakers are actively pursuing reconciliation. How do they do that? Well, first by proclaiming the gospel of peace. Peacemakers are those who proclaim it and advance the gospel of peace, the only message that can bring people into true peace with one another by first bringing them to peace with God. In most stories of war, victory belongs to the strongest and the most aggressive. But in God's kingdom, the true victors are those who pursue peace. Instead of feeding the flames of conflict, a peacemaker uses his influence and wisdom to bring opposing parties together, helping them address their differences and guiding them back to unity. His efforts are always rooted in the gospel, because he knows that only Jesus can truly change hearts. A second way of actively pursuing peace is to mediate broken relationships. If God, who was not at fault of in our broken relationship, if he sent his own son to die in our place to restore it, why are we so slow and unwilling to pursue the restoration of our own broken relationships? Reconciliation is the heart of the gospel. Jesus died for it. The word reconciliation means to restore a friendship or relationship. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, "Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Aim for restoration. That is one of our tasks in this world, is to aim for restoration. The world thinks you are weak when you pursue peace and reconciliation. It sees you as a coward when you choose peace over retaliation. But Jesus sees it differently. In God's kingdom, peacemakers are the real strong ones. Peacemakers are the truly tough ones. Biblical peace is not only the absence of conflict or hostility. Biblical peace is not like this couple where the wife said, "I once gave my husband the silent treatment for a whole week, and at the end of it, which he said, 'Hey, we are getting along well lately.'" That's not peace. A peacemaker doesn't give the silent treatment. A peacemaker doesn't run away from conflict or stick its head in the sand like an ostrich. A peacemaker faces the conflict head on with one goal: to restore the relationship. It takes courage to do this. It's not easy. Peacemaking is an active, ongoing mission. I'm afraid many times we give up because we are tired or because we're afraid to face the conflict. Jesus taught in Matthew 5, verse 23. Listen to this. "So if you are offering your gift at the altar And there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. For Jesus, it is a higher priority to reconcile your broken relationships than bringing your gift to church. It is important to Jesus that we actively pursue peace in our relationships. Listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus is not interested in your gift. While you know a brother or a loved one has something against you, he won't accept your offer if you're not open for reconciliation. So many times we tolerate broken relationships in our marriages, our families, between brothers and sisters, and our neighbors, and we lose out on possible happiness. There's the story of, I think it's a true story, a childhood accident caused poet Elizabeth Barrett to lead a life of semi-invalidity before she married Robert Browning in 1846. In her youth, Elizabeth had been watched over by her tyrannical father. When she and Robert were married, their wedding was held in secret because of her father's disapproval. After the wedding, the Brownings sailed for Italy, where they lived for the rest of their lives. Her parents disowned her, but Elizabeth never gave up on the relationship. Almost weekly, she wrote them letters. Not once did they reply. After 10 years, she received a large box in the mail. Inside, Elizabeth found all of the letters unopened. What a sad story. It is said that today those letters are among the most beautiful in classical English literature. Had her parents only read a few of them, their relationship might have been restored. Many relationships today remain broken simply because one or both parties refuse to read the letter or to take the first step. May you not be the one who ignore letters or offerings of peace or reconciliation. So much time can be wasted by broken relationships. Isn't that true? Just think about some of your relationships. And how much time do we waste during times where that relationship is broken? Years can go by where opportunities are missed. Missed opportunities for good fellowship or late night conversations. Missed opportunities for laughing and time together. Missed opportunities for deep friendship. Missed opportunities for happiness. And when a person dies, it's over. Too late for restoration or reconciliation. A good friend of ours divorced his wife shortly after she had a miscarriage. He refused to go for counseling or any attempt of us to reconcile them, yet confessing to be a Christian. He died tragically in a plane crash without being reconciled. Brothers and sisters, if the peacemakers are blessed, woe to the peace breakers. Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 states, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, slanderers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable." We will find that because it is prophesied. We should avoid these peacebreakers if they call themselves Christians. For Paul wrote in Titus 3 verse 10, as for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. You see, there's no space for reconciliation. He actually cuts himself off from the blessing of fellowship. Friends, if you call yourself a Christian, which means follower of Jesus Christ, and you are not actively pursuing peace, there is something wrong. If you're a peace breaker, you definitely haven't found that peace which is above all understanding. Maybe you're not happy and blessed because you are the one causing divisions between people. Your relationships are characterized by strife, jealousy, conflict, gossip, and distrust. You are not happy when others are happy. Then you must come and confess and come to Jesus for reconciliation with God. You can either fan a fire or cool it down with the words we choose to say. Let us rather be the water that kills fires. In the 90s, not the 1990s, I managed a holiday resort for a few years, and I used to get very angry when campers came in and confronted me with petty issues. I mean, some of the once came in a man and he said he wanted his money back because it is raining for 5 days, and he didn't order that when he planned his holiday. I mean, how do you not get angry? But by God's grace, he taught me how to respond as a peacemaker in those conflict situations. And I used something very practical, which calmed me as well as the clients. I filled a large bottle with those chocolate eclair toffees. I don't know if you remember them or if they still exist, but it's a very sticky toffee. So whenever a red-faced, angry camper came into my office, I was ready for him. I said, I would really like us to discuss your issue, but please let us first eat a toffee together and think about what we are going to say. So when we eat that together, you can't really talk. You stand there, and I can see the red face is getting a little less red, and then we speak. So we stay quiet for a while before you can talk, and that really helped a lot. A simple thing like a chocolate eclair calmed the fires down. Toffees prevented many potential fights. But we know that is from the Lord. That's one of the things, just to calm down. Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. All. When we obey this, God will do his part. Amen? Our efforts often fail. Not all people accept our efforts to reconcile. Not all people will accept your white flag or peace offering. But nevertheless, it is something we need to pursue. Also Romans 14, verse 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Let us be peacemakers. Go to that person whom you know has something against you and speak to him. Listen what he has to say with an open mind and a heart filled with the love of Christ. Pursue reconciliation with that person. Let us also encourage others to reconcile. Jesus died for our sins to bring reconciliation between us and God. It brings joy and happiness when a relationship is restored. Please try this at home. But how do we do this? Well, just three things. First, pray. Pray first. God is the one who works reconciliation in the hearts of people, not us. And that's all that I want to say about that. Pray. Because God is the one who changes hearts. Secondly, use Matthew 18. Use the Matthew 18 principle in conflict situations. And we can open there. Let us read together. Matthew 18. Matthew 18 has important principles for us as the church that helps us in any conflict situation. Let's read together Matthew 18, verse 15, from verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. That's the first step. It's simple. It's not always easy, but it's a very simple step. Do not speak to others before you speak to him or her. This is where many Christians fail. It is so easy step, but it can get much worse when we try to skip the step and talk to others first. This is where a gossip fire can start and where we can prevent a fire from starting. And also when someone comes to you and tells you about their problem with, say, with Gert, I don't know if there's a Gert in church, but it's not aimed on you, and tells you about their problem with Gert, please ask him if he has spoken with Gert. And if not, do not listen to him and encourage him to first have a one-on-one with Gert, and then we can speak. And many times it will never, if it's handled, it won't be necessary to take it to the next step. Verse 15, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You have pursued peace. And that is a principle. If we obey that, you will bear the fruit of that. Verse 16, but if he does not listen, then take one or two others along with you. Not 10 or 100, one or two others, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And who are they? Should we reject those? No, they are the ones in need of the gospel and salvation. We should love them as we love all other lost sinners, like Jesus loved the lost, the Gentiles and the tax collector. So use the Matthew 18 principle when in conflict situations. And then thirdly, listen, listen, and listen. There's a verskil tussen luister en hoor. Many times great conflict situations could be prevented if parties just listened and tried to understand the other person's heart and motives. That's all I want to say about that. This is not easy because we are not perfect. Our efforts always have the seed of failure in it, but by grace, it is possible to pursue peace if we do it through the power of the Spirit. Because we know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Peacemakers are happy because they have inner peace. Peacemakers are happy because they actively pursue reconciliation like Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And then thirdly, peacemakers are happy because they prove to be children of God. Let's look at verse 9 again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The fruit of peace and peacemaking in our lives proves that we are indeed children of God, sons of God. And that's a happy place to be. This is our testimony. When we pursue peace, it means we are part of God's family. Positionally, we are God's children through his adoption of us, and that is why we can call him Abba Father. And his adopted children displays his peacemaking character. Christians are by design peacemakers because they have the Spirit of Christ ruling in their hearts. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." See, in God's kingdom, it works different from this world. Our peacemaking efforts and love for our enemies show that we are sons of our Father. These are the qualities that belong to heavenly inhabitants. They share his passion for peace and reconciliation, the breaking down of walls between people. Someone said, "The Lord here terms peacemakers the children of God, for he is the Father of peace. Those who promote it are reputed his children, but whose children are they? But whose children are they who cause divisions in the church, the government, or in families? Surely they are not of the God who is the Father of peace, or of the Christ who is the sacrifice and mediator of it, or of the Spirit who is the nourisher and bond of peace, nor of the church, which is the kingdom and the family of peace." Peacemakers are children of God and will forever be part of his family. If God calls you his child and others recognize you as his child because they see the evidence, this is a great reason for great happiness. Amen? Happy are the peacemakers because they have inner peace, they actively pursue reconciliation, and they are called children of God. So in conclusion, what a different world this would be if only the teaching of Christ on this one subject were heartily accepted. Not only by a few here and there, but by society at large. Then we would see indeed a kingdom of heaven on earth. Imagine a world without war, marriages without conflict, South Africa without violence and factions, racism and wars. Racism is actually the wrong word, because there's only one race, the human race. It is actually only hate. Hate between people. But there will come a day when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will bring total reconciliation and restoration. And for the last time, let us open at the book Micah, because we must read this together. Micah 4. each page 780 in my Bible, Micah. Micah 4, and I read from verse 3. Ye, speaking of Jesus shall judge between many peoples and shall decide for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. This is the world that is surely coming, when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will reign forever and ever, starting in the new millennium. How we are looking forward to that day. An eternity of peace where each man sit at his own vine and enjoy the fruit of his own labor. Without war, without any fear of nothing. But for now, back to reality. We are called to be peacemakers where we are. Let us call people to beat their swords into plowshares. Let us call people to reconciliation. Peacemakers can bring healing and restoration to broken relationships. Happy are the peacemakers. Brothers and sisters, you are the peacemakers. Go and make peace and be happy in Christ Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the Prince of Peace and that you can change hearts. Thank you that you are sovereign in control of everything that happens. Thank you that you rule in our hearts. Thank you that you lead your church. And I pray, Lord, give us power, give us your spirit, and help us to be peacemakers. Help us to be happy peacemakers. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to spread the gospel of peace to all nations of all countries. Help us there where we are, at work, there where we play, on the sport field, at school, at university, everywhere. Lord, help us to be peacemakers in your kingdom. I pray that you will save people, that you will work in hearts to come closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you will make us more like Jesus Christ every day as we walk in this life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.